You can't come to worship in the light of that as a mere duty. You come as a delight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. And don't, whatever you do, O my soul, forget all his benefits.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm David Pick. We're so glad you could be with us today. And Colin, that sounds like a conclusion. And indeed, that is where we've come to today as we finish our series on the Psalms of Ascent, moving in the right direction.
Just love this set of Psalms, the Songs of Ascent, that take us on this journey from a believer who feels absolutely miserable because he or she has a sense that they're so far from God and how am I going to get to the place of finding joy in God again? And we followed all the steps of a journey, the journey that people actually made from far away, coming to Jerusalem where God had set his presence, and now they find the joy of his presence. It's a wonderful thing that the person who feels far from God today can actually draw near to him. And we've traced what that journey looks like in this series, and now we're getting to where that journey ends. There's joy in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to celebrate that together today.
So join us if you can in the final part of the series and the message. We're in Psalms 133 and 134 as we conclude the message from seeking to finding. Here's Colin.
Now let's begin with Psalm 133 and ask the question, what does God's blessing on us look like? And I want you to notice three things. First, God blesses us by reconciling us to himself and to each other. Secondly, God blesses us not only by reconciling us to himself and one another, but he blesses us by anointing us for ministry and service. Now, the Bible's full of pictures. Try and imagine this one with me. Verse 2. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. Now you say, that sounds marvelous, that little story about Aaron, what in all the world has it got to do with me? Listen, the anointing of Aaron is a picture of what God does with every believer in Jesus Christ. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, here's what God does. He pours his Holy Spirit into you. He makes you a priest. The New Testament speaks about the priesthood of all believers. What that means is that God puts every believer in a place where we are able to serve him and minister in his name. It is a wonderful thing. What that means is there is no such thing as an ordinary Christian. Third, God blesses us not only by reconciling us to himself and to each other, not only by anointing each believer for ministry and for service, but thirdly, by renewing and refreshing our lives. Now, here's another lovely picture. Look at it in verse 3. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Now, Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in Israel. It rises over 9,000 feet, and in fact, it's easily the highest mountain in the whole region. It is usually snow-capped throughout the year. I remember my own sense of surprise the first time I saw it. Sitting on a tour bus, I said to Karen, "That looks like snow at the top of that mountain." I couldn't believe it because we were so hot. But this is such a high mountain that it has normally snow on the top just about all the year round. Now, I've also been to Mount Zion. And Mount Zion, in comparison with Hermon, is really just like a little hill. It's a fair old climb to get up there, but it's a hill at the kind of height that you could build on the top of it. And when I was on Mount Zion, I remember it vividly. It was dry, it was hot, blistering hot, and it was very, very dusty indeed. Now, think of the picture. Imagine the dew of the snow-capped mountain falling on the dry, dusty ground of this bald-headed little hill. God's abundant supply coming to the dried-up, cracked ground. of your life, my life. That's the picture of God refreshing and renewing a dried up life. And David says that's what it's like when God's people live together in unity, his blessing flows. When God's people discover their gifting and their calling for ministry, his blessing flows. God's people gathering together to worship like that, you find there's a renewal, a refreshment in your very innermost being. It's the blessing of God. And that's a snapshot of what eternity is going to be like. Life will never get stale nor dull in heaven. Will constantly be renewed and refreshed. The dews of Hermon falling upon Mount Zion. So that's a snapshot of God's blessing in eternity. Reconciliation, anointing for ministry, constant renewal. And every time here and now we see reconciliation take place, that's a little touch of heaven on earth. Every time we see a believer discovering their place in ministry, a little touch of heaven on earth. Every time we're renewed and refreshed in the presence of God, a little touch of heaven here on earth. It's God's blessing to us. One day it's going to be complete. What we've got now, the Apostle Paul says, is just like a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Boy, I was thinking about when we bought our first house and the deposit that we put down was that much. The mortgage, that much, right? All that you experience of the Holy Spirit now is just a foretaste of what will be complete in his presence. But it's a real sample. It's a taster of what's to come. God's blessing to us. Now let's look secondly at our blessing the Lord. And again, notice three things. First, we bless the Lord by worshiping in response to his blessing. Now, there's an important difference between God blessing us and us blessing the Lord. When God blesses us, he makes us what we're not. He gives us what we haven't, what we need. When we bless the Lord, we rejoice in what he already is, always was, and always will be. And our blessing the Lord is the natural response of believing people who have been blessed by the Lord. Here's today's really profound point. Psalm 134 comes after Psalm 133. Okay, that's the profound point of the day. But think about its significance. We do not come to worship in order to be blessed. We come to worship because we are blessed. You see, if you come to worship thinking, I've come to worship in order to be blessed, you'll come with a scorecard and you'll mark the worship out of 10. That's what a lot of people do. It's a complete misunderstanding of what worship is. We come to worship to be blessed. We come to worship because we are blessed, because we have grasped by faith what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and we want to declare his praise. Worship is the response of a believing heart to God's grace already poured in. It is why it is only possible for believers. It is only possible through the Holy Spirit. But listen, God has reconciled you to himself in Christ. God has anointed you by the gift of his Holy Spirit. God has taken you, an ordinary person, and made you one of his priests. God gives you life forevermore. You can't come to worship in the light of that as a mere duty. You come as a delight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. And don't, whatever you do, O my soul, forget all his benefits. We bless the Lord by worshiping in response to his blessing.
That's one way we worship the Lord, but we also worship at all times and in all circumstances. And we'll come back in a moment and look at that. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called From Seeking to Finding, based on Psalms 133 and 134. It's the very last in our series, Moving in the Right Direction. And if you've missed any of the series, you can easily catch up or go back and listen again by coming online to our website, openthebible.org.uk. Back to the message now. Here again is Colin.
We bless the Lord by worshiping in response to his blessing. Secondly, we bless the Lord by worshiping at all times and in all circumstances. Now, look at verse 1 again. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Now, what's this? The night shift. God's temple was never closed. In the Old Testament, it was open 24/7. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 33 tells us that the musicians, they were exempt from other duties because they had to sustain the ministry of music in the temple day and night. Now, by the way, that's pretty tough on the choir, don't you think? 24/7 in the temple. Now, presumably, they did this, as we would do it, by organizing it on a roster of people working different shifts so that God's temple would always be filled with praise. And so I want you to imagine just for a moment that all of us in this congregation right now are the priests and the Levites of God, okay? And we've gathered together here, and the high priest has come. He's got his little clipboard, and he's giving out the roster for next week's duties. Now, he says, it's great to have all of us Levites, priests together this morning, and of course, it's a wonderful privilege for us all to serve the Lord in his temple. And you all know that the Lord has said that from the rising of the sun to its setting, his name is to be praised, and we have the immense privilege of making sure that this happens. And so I want simply to give out the duties for us for this next week. And so the early shift, I want all of you folks here this week to be on the early shift. You're going to be here. Report to the temple, please, at 6 in the morning, and you'll be on duty till 12. All right? And you folks on here, over here, you're on the afternoon shift, and you'll come on at 12, and you'll be ministering in the temple until 6. And then the folks at the back here, behind the cameras, you folks are going to be on the evening shift. You will report at 6 in the evening, and you'll be responsible for everything going on in the temple until midnight. And then the night shift, of course, there are not so many people coming to the temple during the night, so we don't need so many on staff there. Just you folks in these front three rows, you're on duty every night this week from midnight until 6 in the morning. You're the priests and Levites who will minister by night in the house of the Lord. Now that we've just given out all of the instructions for our duties for the next week, how do these folks in the front three rows in the center feel? They're probably more spiritual than I am, but I'll tell you how I would feel. Great. Just my luck. How come I always get the short straw? I mean, who really wants to do the night shift? And I mean, let's face it, who comes to the temple at 3 o'clock in the morning anyway? What's the point in singing? What's the point in lighting a candle? Who cares whether we burn the incense then or not? How come I get picked to lead the worship when no one's there? Nobody's going to notice my ministry at 4:30 a.m. What difference does it make? Now listen. Some of us have been called to declare the praise of God in very dark times and in very lonely places. Some of us have been called by God right now on the roster. We are lifting the praise of God on a very, very difficult path. And frankly, any Sunday morning when the whole congregation is gathered, there are quite a number of us who are in that situation, and we know it. We're not singing songs in the daytime. We're trying our best to sustain singing the song in the night. And I want you to see what happens in this psalm. You see, what's happening here, if you look at it, you'll see that the whole congregation is speaking a word of encouragement to the few who happen to be on the night shift. The words are directed by the whole congregation singing this psalm to the servants of the Lord who minister by night. It's the night shift crew, and they're trying to encourage them because it's tough to be on the night shift, right? Not easy to declare the praise of God in a lonely situation where it's very dark. Nobody would choose that. And so this psalm is an expression of the whole community encouraging those who are walking that dark path. You know, I'd like us to hear that right now in this service. Let me ask the simple question, as I've asked in all the other services. Every Sunday, there are folks who are just going through a rough time. You would immediately say, boy, I identify with a night shift. I identify with these folks who are not finding it easy to declare the praise of God, because right now I'm in a difficult circumstance of life. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything else that's going to embarrass you, but if that's where you are today, I want you just to slip up your hand and then slip it down, one section at a time. Okay, in this section here, there's a number of us. There have been in every service, both in the gym. Just slip up your hand down. This section over here, some of us, dark time, tough time, number of us, good number of us. In the center here, a number of us, a number of us. Over in these two sections here, just slip up your hand, slip it down. Every Sunday's, this is what it's like. There are always a good number in the company of God's people. And you say, you know, I'm trying to lift up the name of the Lord, but it's not easy for me right now. Now, what happens in this psalm is that the whole congregation speaks a word of encouragement to the night shift. So if you've just raised your hand in these last moments, I just want you to sit quietly and to listen. Don't say anything. Just listen. And I want the rest of the congregation to minister the encouragement of the Word of God to those who are struggling at this time, the night shift. Look at what you're going to say in just a moment. You're going to say at the end there, may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you. We want the blessing of God on the night shift, people. We're going to say to some brothers and sisters today who are servants of the Lord ministering by night, lift up your hands and praise the Lord. We want to encourage them. So as if you were able to do this eyeball to eyeball with one of your brothers or sisters sitting near to you who's really struggling, as some listen, I want all the rest of the congregation with strength and conviction to minister the word of God. Will you read it together with me? As to these brothers and sisters, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Now listen, your faith, your love for Christ, your worship in the darkness when it's tough is of great value in the eyes of God. The greatest witness of the Church of Jesus Christ is not her songs in the daytime, but her songs in the night. The greatest witness of the Church of Jesus Christ is from those who suffer, for those who've been persecuted, for those even who've laid down their lives for Jesus Christ. And when you will continue to lift up the name of Jesus and bless the Lord in the darkness of the night, you are doing something of inestimable value for the glory of God. The whole church across the earth is called to declare the praise of Christ in all times and in all circumstances. Hear this word of encouragement. When God, for whatever reason, has put you on the night shift, bless the Lord and know that this may be just about the most significant ministry of your life. We bless the Lord then by worshiping in response to his blessing. We bless the Lord by worshiping at all times, not just in the noonday when it's very bright and easy, not just with the crowds, but in the hard, dark, lonely places. At all times and in all circumstances. And here's the last thing. We bless the Lord by worshiping in anticipation of the new day. Now here's just about the most important thing for the night shift people. The Old Testament believers, you know, lived in the expectation that one day Messiah would come. God had said he would suddenly come to his temple. And of course, that was the reason, above everything else, as to why the temple was never closed. It was open 24/7, because what if God came to his temple at 3 o'clock in the morning and it was all locked up and shut and dark? Well, you couldn't have that happen. So you had the Levites and you had the priests 24/7 in the temple sustaining the ministry because Messiah could come at any moment, any day. And those who ministered by night were waiting for the Lord. Now, I'm certain that that is the significance of the lifting up of the hands in verse 2. See, the lifted hands in the sanctuary are an expression of anticipation, of expectation. Here are these Levites in the middle of the night, and they're lifting up their hands in the darkness of the temple where they've lit their candle and they're looking for the day when the Lord himself will come. They're saying in New Testament terms, Lord Jesus Christ, come quickly. Now you see, Jesus spoke about this. When the Son of Man comes, he said, will he find faith on the earth? And every believer wants to say with lifted hands, you'll find faith in me because I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus told a story about a bride and her whole entourage who were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. They were waiting in the darkness of the night for the midnight cry when the bridegroom would come and the marriage would begin. And you see, that is exactly our position, isn't it? Whether it be in the brightness of midday or whether it be in the darkness of the night, we live in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Our worship is by faith. It is sometimes in the darkness. It is always in the anticipation that Jesus Christ will come, and then faith will be turned to sight and our journey will be over and we shall be forever with the Lord. That's where the journey of following Jesus ends. So are you on that journey? You come to the place, the man who says, I've lived at a distance from God for too long. You set out in the path and you're finding that brothers and sisters will walk with you as you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You can do that today. Begin that journey. And you will find as you put your faith in Jesus Christ that God blesses you. And as God blesses you, you will want to rise in return and to bless the Lord.
What a great way to end our message and series, moving in the right direction with the message from seeking to finding. If you've missed any of the series, or if you want to go back and listen again, you can do that by coming online to our website, openthebible.org.uk, or by going to your favourite podcast site and searching for Open the Bible UK, and there you'll find all of the series which have already been broadcast. Open the Bible is supported by our listeners, and if you already give to support the work, we want to say a big thank you. If you've been considering beginning to support Open the Bible financially, this month, if you're able to set up a new direct debit to the work of Open the Bible in the amount of £5 per month or more, or a one-off gift of £50 or more, we'd love to say thank you by sending you a copy of Pastor Collins' book, Fly Through the Bible. If you'd like to receive that free gift, don't forget, don't give anonymously and do leave your address. Colin, what do you hope that readers of this book will take away from it?
Well, the people will see that the whole Bible is one story and that it all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think many folks know some stories from the Bible, you know, David and Goliath, Jonah and the whale and so forth and so on. But I find that often people don't realize that there really is an overall storyline to the Bible. It begins in a garden, it ends in a city. All the way through, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when a person gets an overview of the Bible, that's the best way to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is going to show you who he is, why we need him, what he's accomplished, what he offers, what he's able to do in the life of any person who turns to him in repentance and faith.
Well, we'd love to send you a copy of Pastor Collins' book, Fly Through the Bible, if you're able to set up a new direct debit to the work of Open the Bible for £5 per month or more, or a one-off gift of £50 or more this month. Don't forget to leave your address so that we can send you your free gift. You can find full terms and conditions, and you can give online at our website, openthebible.org.uk. For Open the Bible and Pastor Colin Smith, I'm David Pick, and we'll see you next time. You'll never get serious about pursuing contentment until you see this. Find out what it is next time on Open the Bible.